We never want to let the clock be an excuse for not learning a new song, do we, David? Is that new for anybody else? A few people, okay. All right, you knew it, Janelle, right? No? Oh, wow. Okay. If I stump Janelle, we're doing good. All right. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 this morning. If you'd like to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. We're continuing through our look at the week in between the triumphal entry and the resurrection. And there are a number of things that occur between where we left off last week and where we're going to be this morning. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to go over those details, but I would encourage you, if you get time today or in the weeks ahead, to read the rest of Matthew 22, starting verse 15. That's where we would have ended last week. Start there and read through verses the rest of that chapter, and then also chapter 23 and 24, and you'll find in those chapters a lot of conversation between Jesus and his disciples, much of which deals with the fact that he is leaving and when he will come again. And this morning we're going to pick up in Matthew 25 and look at another parable. This one will be the parable of the 10 virgins. But before we begin with that, let's take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for hearing the Club Rock students singing. We thank you for hearing about the work that the Manas are involved in. We thank you for the reminder of those two things together, of the responsibility that we have to share the gospel both near and far, to be involved in different ministries that you've given us opportunity to be part of, whether it's in person like Club Rock or it's through prayer and financial support like the Manas and the Romanos and other missionaries that are serving in places around the world that we maybe don't get to go personally, but we can still be involved in sharing the news of the gospel. And this morning as we look in this passage, I pray that we would be clearly reminded of the fact that you have told us that the Christ is coming again, and you've also made it clear to us that we don't know when that will happen. And so we have been called and exhorted to live our lives as if it could be any time. And I pray this morning that we would clearly receive that message and that we would meditate on your word and consider how it applies to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to read the first 13 verses if you'd like to follow along. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So this parable, right, and remember this, Jesus is speaking just days before his crucifixion is going to occur. He is teaching the very important truth that it's necessary that we be diligent in looking for his return, and that we be ready for that to happen at any time because we don't know when it will be. And the details that are described in this parable are probably a little strange to us in the 21st century when we think about marriage events. We saw that a couple weeks ago when we talked about the wedding feast and how it was odd for us to think about that the wedding attire would be provided for those who were in attendance. So we don't do that today. And similarly, that the way that marriages occurred at the time of Jesus' ministry was different than the way that they appear today. And this, what Jesus is describing here would have been very familiar to the audience to whom he was speaking. They would have known exactly what he was talking about and how these details would have fit together for a traditional marriage. But by way of a little bit of background, let me just read you a short explanation from D.A. Carson that kind of gives us a little oversight of the way that marriage would usually occur. He says, normally the bridegroom with some close friends left his home to go to the bride's home, where there were various ceremonies followed by a procession through the streets, often after nightfall, to his home. The 10 virgins may be bridesmaids who have been assisting the bride, and they expect to meet the groom as he comes from the bride's house. Everyone in the procession was expected to carry his or her own torch. Those without a torch would be assumed to be party crashers or even brigands. The festivities, which might last several days, would formally get underway at the groom's house. Okay, so that's the background. That's the way that the marriage events would have occurred at that time. And as, again, Jesus' audience here would have known that. They would have been very familiar with that. So this parable, and again, as I mentioned at the beginning, most of the preceding couple of chapters involve Jesus explaining to his disciples that his time on earth is coming to an end. But that he also will return at some point. And his disciples were not really grasping a lot of what Jesus was saying, right? We know that from what we see that happens in the next few chapters, that they were not really expecting him to die. And then they were not really expecting him to rise again. We know that we didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying. But a lot of things that Jesus describes here about the future did not take place during the disciples' lifetime. Some of them did, of course, his death and resurrection did, but his second coming didn't occur then, and it hasn't occurred again yet. And the disciples, of course, even though they weren't fully grasping what Jesus was saying, what we see in these few chapters here in this part of Matthew is that they want to know, when is all this going to happen? And much like the disciples, right, every generation of believers since then, up to and including the present day, we want to know, when is this going to happen? When are these events going to take place, right? And there have been many people throughout history who have claimed that they had it figured out and claimed they knew when it was going to occur, right? Perhaps most notably in recent years been Harold Camping saying he knew the exact date that Jesus was going to return. And, of course, he was wrong. And that shouldn't surprise us because the Bible tells us that no one knows except God when that's going to occur. But this parable ends with Jesus making that clear. It ends, verse 13, he says, truly I say to you, I do not know you. We'll get back to that. Sorry, verse 13, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. He's telling them, you don't know when this is going to happen. And I'm not telling you when it's going to happen. I'm just telling you to be ready for it. So let's kind of unpack this parable, right? Jesus says, beginning verse 1, the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to the bridegroom. So the kingdom of heaven, right? The coming day, Jesus will return. That those who are alive who are in Christ will leave the earth, and those who are not in Christ will be left behind, and there will be a day of judgment that's to come. And Jesus says, this is like these 10 virgins who are getting ready for this wedding. And notice that all 10 virgins have their lamps, and they all went to meet the bridegroom. Okay, so these women are certainly friends of the bride, right? Remember that explanation I read from D.A. Carson? Maybe they would be what we call bridesmaids or those who had been helping the bride get ready, and they're waiting for the groom to come so they can be part of this full wedding celebration, festivity. They knew he was coming, but they didn't know when he was going to get there. Five of these women were wise, Jesus said, but five of them were foolish. What made the difference between if they were wise or if they were foolish? Well, Jesus explains, he says that they've all got lamps, but the foolish, verse 3 says, took their lamps. They took no oil with them. The wise, on the other hand, took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now, again, it's important to understand that even the foolish women had oil in their lamps, right? They didn't have lamps with no oil at all, right? They didn't go to the wedding ceremony with a useless lamp. They had oil in the lamp to begin with. but they had no additional oil, should the oil in the lamp become depleted. Why would they do that? Well, either they hadn't thought about the fact that they might run out, or if they had thought about it, they didn't think they would because they figured that the groom would show up before their oil had expired. So either they didn't think about it or they thought about it and didn't think it necessary. Either way, the result was they had no additional oil. The wise virgins, on the other hand, brought a flask of oil along. Did they know they were going to need it? No, they didn't. They didn't know when the groom was coming either. But just in case he didn't come before their oil expired, they wanted to be ready. So they brought additional oil with them just in case. At the very least, these foolish women were guilty of not foreseeing the potential need for additional oil. It's important for us to keep in mind that neither group of women knew when the groom was coming. Right? The wise virgins did not bring oil because they knew something the foolish virgins didn't know. All 10 of them knew the groom was coming. None of the 10 knew when he was coming. Half of them planned accordingly. The other half did not. So what happens? Verse 5, the bridegroom was delayed. Why in the world was the groom delayed? He's going to his wedding, for crying out loud. You'd think he would want to be on time. We don't know. It doesn't tell us why he was delayed. It really isn't relevant to the story. What's relevant is that he did not arrive within the period of time that at least half of those 10 virgins thought he should have been there. And Jesus didn't tell us why. And in the same way, Jesus doesn't tell us now when he will return or why he hasn't returned yet. I think it's probably safe to say that many, many, many believers from the time of Jesus until today have asked God, why hasn't Jesus returned? What are you waiting for? When will he arrive? But we don't know. We know from the Bible that many of the people who were alive when Jesus was ministering thought that his return would occur during their lifetimes. We know that Paul actually had to address the believers in Thessalonica and explain that they had not missed the rapture. It hadn't occurred yet. They thought for sure that it was going to occur at any moment. And that's exactly how we should live too, as if it could happen any moment, because it could. But we don't know when. So the groom is delayed, and as they're waiting, they got tired, and they slept. And notice that there is no condemnation in here against them for sleeping, right? There's nothing in the parable that says, you're a fool for sleeping. It's okay that they went to sleep. That's not the issue. They got tired, they got drowsy, it says, and they slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. There's a wonderful Southern gospel song. Some of you know Southern gospel music, may know this song. It's called The Midnight Cry. It's been around for quite a few years. But the second stanza of that song goes like this. As I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling and signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear my father as he says, son, go get my children. At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. Now, what about you this morning, right? When you think about those words, that lyrics, when you look around you and you read the news or you watch the news and you read the Bible and you hear the Bible taught, do you see a correlation? Do you see signs of the times being fulfilled everywhere? Do you see prophecies being fulfilled? Do you realize that Jesus could come at any moment? And when the midnight cry comes, to use the words of this parable, are you going to be ready? See, that's what happens here. It literally could be any time, right? And time, God is not bound by time the way that we are. For us, it's been a long time since Jesus ascended back into heaven. It's been a long time that we've been waiting for him to come. And because of our comprehension of time and the way that time works for us, we may have the inclination to think, well, he hasn't come yet. It's probably not happening anytime soon. But we don't know. And God's not bound by time like we are. For God, it hasn't been a long time since this parable has been delivered. Time, as we understand it, doesn't mean anything to God. So when he comes, when Jesus Christ comes, when he does what this parable is referring to, it will be at exactly the right time. He will not have been delayed from his perspective. From our perspective, it may be about time. Kind of like when I get done this morning, you guys will be like, it's about time. But when Jesus comes, it'll be at exactly the right time. I don't know when it'll be. It might be before I finish this message. It might be another 2,000 years. I have no idea. But precisely because we do not know, that's why we are to think and live in such a way as if it could be today. Because it could be. So the cry goes out at midnight. The bridegroom is coming. And then what happens? Verse 7 says, all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Right? By this point, their lamps were dying. The light was dim. Right? And so they trimmed them by removing the burnt parts of the linen or the wick. Right? If any of you have ever used oil-burning lamps, you know how that works. You need to trim the lamp periodically in order for it to burn brighter and more efficiently. And it's important to notice that all 10 trimmed their lamps. So far, so good. But it's about to get not so good for half of them. Because verse 8 says, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Why were their lamps going out? Because the oil that was in their lamps had been depleted. There wasn't much left. They'd either run out or they were about to, and they didn't have any more. And if you don't have any oil, trimming your lamp is basically useless. You can trim it all you want. You could be the world's best lamp trimmer. And it won't do any good. Because there's nothing to make the lamp burn. The oil is absolutely essential for the lamp to produce light. Nothing else matters but the presence of oil. Someone trimmed their lamp well but has no oil. Doesn't matter. Someone thought they had enough oil, but they turned out to be wrong. Doesn't matter. Someone planned to bring the oil, but they forgot. Doesn't matter. Someone's father or mother or grandparent or spouse or friend had the oil, but they didn't. Doesn't matter. Someone really wishes they had enough oil. Doesn't matter. Having the oil is the only thing that matters. The only thing that would make the lamp produce a flame. And that's ultimately what this parable is about, but we'll come back to it in a moment. Because their lamps were going out, right, the five foolish virgins say to the five wise virgins, hey, can we have some of your oil? They didn't actually say these words, right? But the idea, basically what they're saying is, hey, you came prepared and I didn't. Can I have some of your preparation? I don't know about you. When I was reading this, I was thinking about it. It reminded me of my elementary, junior high, probably even high school days where in class and somebody says, hey, can I borrow a piece of paper? Any of you ever have that experience, right? Maybe you're the one asking, or maybe you're the one everybody depended on to be ready, but they're like, I'm not going to need paper today. And then the teacher says, take out a piece of paper. And hey, can I borrow a piece of paper? And of course, it never meant borrow. They meant have. They never gave it back. But that's the idea here, right? That the five foolish virgins are like, hey, we didn't come prepared. We didn't know that it was going to take this long for him to get here. We don't have any more oil. You do. Can I have some of yours? And what's the response of the wise virgins? They say in verse 9, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. In other words, they're like, sorry, yeah, I did plan ahead and I brought enough and I'm in good shape, but I don't have enough to give you some too, so hey, why don't you go buy some? And so they did. It says that while they were going out to buy, the bridegroom came. Now, the parable doesn't tell us how long this interval was. We don't know how long they were gone looking to buy oil. I'm guessing, and this is purely just speculation on my part, but I'm guessing there were not a whole lot of oil vendors open at midnight. And so it probably took them a while to find oil. But we're led to believe that eventually they did. They finally found a spot. But in that time period, while they're gone, while they're getting the oil they need to relight their lamp in order to join that procession to the celebration, the groom arrived. And it says, when he came, those who were ready went with him to the feast. And the door was shut. The wise virgins were ready when he showed up. Their lamps were still burning. They were able to join that procession and go with the bridegroom to the marriage feast. And after they get there, everyone's inside, they shut the door. And the foolish virgins, they've gotten their oil apparently, and it says afterward, verse 11, the other virgins came also, and they're pounding on the door, hey, let us in. We got our oil, we're here now. It says his answer in verse 12 was, I don't know you. In other words, you're not getting in. You missed your opportunity. Now I want you to notice that the virgins apparently were aware of where to go. These foolish virgins were not there when the groom arrived, and they were not part of the procession to the celebration, but it doesn't indicate to us that they wandered the town aimlessly looking for perhaps where the wedding was occurring. It appears that they knew exactly where to go. They knew where the celebration would occur, so they were not without knowledge, but they weren't prepared. They had not met the conditions to get in. How does Jesus end this parable? In verse 13, as I already read earlier, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And the same is true for you and me today. We don't know when Christ will return. We have to be ready. Just like I said with the oil for the lamps is the only thing that mattered. Nothing else will matter in the moment that Christ returns but whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It won't matter if you know what the Bible teaches about salvation. It won't matter if you thought about accepting Christ as your Savior and even figured you would get around to that eventually. It won't matter if your mom or your dad or your grandparents or your spouse or your siblings or your friends know Jesus Christ as Savior. And it certainly won't matter if you wish you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only thing that will matter is, are you ready at that moment? Do you know Christ as your Savior? In a sermon he preached in 2012, Alistair Begg put it like this. He says, let me just say something to somebody who is here, and your spouse is a Christian and you are not. Or let me speak to the young person who is in a home and has been raised in a Christian home, and you're kept buoyant, as it were, on the faith of your family, but you've never trusted in Christ. Let me tell you something. You can't borrow faith from anyone else. You can't borrow faith from your mom. You can't borrow faith from your husband. It's going to have to be your own faith. It's going to have to be your lamp filled by God, your life invaded by God, And the point that Jesus is making in the telling of the parable is absolutely unmistakable. Therefore, you need to recognize that you must watch, for you don't know the day or the hour. The only thing that will matter is if I know Christ, if you know Christ, if whoever is alive the time he returns, do they know Christ? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all that matters. Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Have you confessed your sins and repented from your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If not, and if you don't make that choice before Christ returns or before your time on earth ends, it will be too late. You will be like the foolish virgins. You might have known the truth. You might have had the opportunity. You do have the opportunity, but you weren't ready. And no matter how loudly you pound, to continue the metaphor, what you will hear from God is, I don't know you. So in the words of another Southern gospel song that was popular a few decades ago, where would you be if Jesus came back 5 minutes ago? Think about that for a minute. If Jesus had returned 5 minutes ago, would you still be sitting here? Because if you would, you're like the foolish virgins. You're not ready. Jesus did not come back 5 minutes ago, which means you still have an opportunity to get ready so that when that time comes, you will not be left behind. But if you this morning cannot sit there and say for certain that if Jesus had come back 5 minutes ago, I know I would not be here. I would be with him in heaven. I would have been caught up in the blink of an eye and left all the troubles and trials of this world behind. If you are not sure, you can be sure. I urge you to make that choice and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would not be here. Because if, to continue this metaphor, you would be out looking for more oil for your lamp, you will miss eternity with God. Make your salvation sure today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this little parable. It illustrates for us the reality that you have given us all an invitation to spend eternity with you. That through the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to earth to live a perfect, sinless life and to die on the cross in our place and to pay the penalty for our sins, we have all received an invitation to the wedding feast. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that whoever means there is no one who is excluded. The only condition is what the rest of that verse says, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. If there's anyone here this morning, Father, that doesn't know for sure if they've accepted Christ as Savior, they're not certain if they would be ready when Christ returns. I pray they would understand the importance of that decision and realize that they're not assured that they can make that decision tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now. Perhaps you will linger, but we just don't know. And I pray they would desire to make that choice today to receive Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and take our hymnals and turn to number 239. and sing together. Jesus is coming again. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carols we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again. Is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
I want to invite all of you to stay for Sunday school. And just a reminder that junior high up through adults, we will be in here at 10 after 11 to hear from the Mannas. I'd encourage you to do that. In the song we just sang, it says, oh, what a wonderful day that will be. But it will only be a wonderful day if you know Christ as your Savior. In Acts chapter 4, we are told that there is salvation in no other. That only Jesus Christ, only through Jesus Christ, can we be saved. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, please talk to Pastor Jim, Pastor Abe, talk to one of us this morning and make that decision so that it will indeed be a wonderful day for you. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. Thank you for the promised return of your Son and the hope that we have of eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.